السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله، ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. وأنفقوا مما رزقناكم من قبل أن يأتي أحدكم الموت فيقول رب لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب فأصدق وأكن من الصالحين. ولن يؤخر الله نفسا إذا جاء أجلها، والله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم.
علماء کرام، most respected brothers, our sisters at the madrasa, those listening over receivers, and a little later those who will be listening over Tamil Islam. After a long time I recited one old ruku. And the reason for that is that we all know that this Mubarak night has got something to do with a list of people that are going to die during the course of the year, being handed to the angels by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. But before we go to that there is definitely maut that is going to come, and in which there is no difference of opinion. Many times I have mentioned that there can be differences of opinion in almost everything, and especially at present every person has got his own opinion, and there is just no end to the differences of opinion. However, when it comes to mouth or death, there is no difference of opinion. We do not have anyone in the world disputing or denying that there is such a thing as death. Presidents of the countries have died, kings and rulers have died, those who owned oil wells have left the world, those who lived in huge palaces have left the world, and those who lived in huts and shacks have left the world. Before our very eyes we see the young leaving the world, the old leaving the world, the black and white leaving the world, the sick and ailing leaving the world, the healthy and fit leaving the world. There is no shortage of evidence, and especially at present, in the kind of society that we live. So we have to be prepared for this eventuality. It is going to happen. There can be differences of what's going to happen after death. There the Christian will say something else, the Jew will say something else, the Hindu will say something else, the atheist will say nothing, you turn to dust and everything is over. But the fact is that as far as death itself is concerned, there is no difference of opinion. Now we all have read the pamphlets, the articles, the magazines, or we have heard so many bayans already. Some of them listen on radio stations, some of them in the masajid or other programs, about the virtues of this Mubarak night. Looking at the large number of ahadith in which this night is mentioned, therefore no one can say that there is no such thing as any kind of virtue of this Mubarak night. Yes, there can be some academic discussion with regards to some of those narrators of certain ahadith. But as far as the virtues are concerned, it is a reality. As far as the tafsir of that ayat, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatin mubarakah, Inna kunna munzirin, ila akhir ayah. Surah Dukhan, the beginning of that. And by the way, before it slips my mind, since we mentioned Surah Dukhan, there is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam that whosoever recites Surah Dukhan on Friday night, and Friday night is what we call Thursday night, like tonight. So whoever recites it on the, what we will say Thursday night, but we know our calendar, our day changes from sunset. So whoever recites it on Friday night, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 angels to make dua and maghfirat for them. And we will say 70,000 angels. If everybody in the ummah has to recite it, won't there be a shortage? So Allah ta'ala hasn't got like our police force there to train. And after that they say, now we do not have enough funds to train more. And even if they have funds, then do we know what kind of corruption there is? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is so loving, and that's the point I wish to get across to you. That my young friends, there is no question of losing hope in the mercy of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala does not want to send us to the fire of Jahannam. He hasn't created us so that He may put us in the fire of Jahannam. Can that be the purpose of creating us? Will anybody manufacture or produce or make or invent something, and you ask him, why did you make all these things? Is it just so that I may smash it? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not want to smash us up. Allah ta'ala has just sent down in this world 100th of His rahmat. Of His 100 mercies, He just sent down 1% in this world. And because of that 1%, we find animals, human beings, jinnat, creatures, and everything showing some kind of mercy to those that are young, or their offsprings, showing some kind of mercy to their offsprings. Even the hen, if you have to catch the chick and run, the hen too will start screaming and screeching and running behind you. Even that has got mercy for that chick. And that's just 1% in this world. Until the day of Qiyamah is just part of that 1%. 99% He has left for the Akhirat and for the hereafter. For the forgiveness of sinful ones like us. That is why He has got it. But any father, we know that no matter how kind he may be, no matter how generous he may be, no matter how much he may keep his door wide open for that son, but if that son becomes disobedient, the son disrespects, the son back answers and back chats and becomes completely negligent, then in this world also, even those fathers who had great amount of mercy and love for those children, they boot them out. And some of them will say, don't ever see me again. Don't ever return to my house or my shop. I don't need you anymore in my life. You have hurt me enough. It is only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that no matter how much of disobedience we may have shown. There is one car blocking a driveway. Please remove it immediately. NUR 660. NUR 660. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is so loving and so merciful that He has kept His doors of tawbah open for the person until his dying day. But if the person becomes persistent in sins, Allah ta'ala is showing the different doors of rahmat and mercy that enter these doors. But because of our youth, or because of our money, or because of our position in society, and our post in the government, we are not prepared to listen. So then, do we blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for sending down the different calamities in the world? So before we proceed further, we will just read a little again from Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Alayhi's Ash'ar. Because we have heard enough of what the virtues are of the Mubarak night, we will cover it very, very briefly. But this is the whole purpose, that we must now become prepared that there is a life hereafter. Hazrat Khaja Sahab Rahmatullah Alayhi very beautifully says, Jahan mein hai ibrat, کہ ہر سو نمونے جہاں میں ہے عبرت کہ ہر سو نمونے مگر تجھ کو اندھا کیا رنگ بو نے کبھی غور سے بھی یہ دیکھا ہے تو نے جو معمور تھے وہ محل اب ہے سونے جگہ جی لگانے کی دنیا نہیں ہے یہ عبرت کی جا ہے تماشا نہیں ہے Look at those palaces which at one time there was great amount of pomp and show and they were drinking and eating and feasting and I'm talking about those who were disobedient rulers. In those palaces there was great amount of wastage of the God-given wealth. Israf was at a limit and sing song and music and everything else. Everyone was enjoying. Now go and see those same palaces today. Go and look at the Taj Mahal today. People go there and they make just to listen to their echoing sound. That's all. They don't even read any kind of surah there and send sawab to those resting there in those graves. Those who have been there, they will bear testimony to that. Go to the other forts and fortresses, they're just lying in ruins. Go to the world, different parts of the world, go to Greek and go to other places. Look at the number of forts and fortresses just lying in ruins. No sign of those kings and those rulers where they are. They all disappeared beneath the surface of the earth, never to rise again. All their pomp and glory and show is all gone. So only if the person did something useful in this world, then it will be of help and assistance to him in the hereafter. So he says, kabhi ghor se bhi ye dekha hai tune, did you ever look with an eye of ibrat and taking lesson that those palaces have now gone completely silent. There's eeriness in there. Go at night there when everything is quiet, nobody will say this at one time was a huge palace. So where are we giving our life over something that is perishable? Nothing wrong. Use the ni'mats of Allah Ta'ala. Repeatedly I have said, Islam is the only religion that you can be a king, you can be a ruler, you can be a minister, you can be a governor, you can be everything. And yet you can be still a wali of Allah Ta'ala and close to Allah Ta'ala. It's only in Islam. There's no such thing that if you become pious and righteous, then finish. That's the end of progress in life. I have given many times the example of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and he ruled over more than 2/3 of the then known world. And yet look at his life. How much of love of Allah ta'ala, love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how much of fear and hope of the akhirah. But it didn't stop him from making progress. So nobody says that we must not use the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the manner in which we are now leading our lives, we have to admit that we are very, very negligent. We are indifferent and unconcerned. Our namazes, they can come and go, we are unconcerned. Our outward appearance sometimes does not even indicate any sign that we are Muslims. And our inside is full of malice and greed and pride and arrogance. And we walk on the streets as if there is no one like us. So then how are we going to pass on the beautiful teachings of Islam to others? So the only thing that will bring us back to reality is if the person realizes that a day of death is going to come.
Aane wali kisse taali jayegi? Aane wali kisse taali jayegi? جان ٹھہری جانے والی جائے گی جان ٹھہری جانے والی جائے گی روح رگ رگ سے نکالی جائے گی تجھ پہ ایک دن خاک ڈالی جائے گی روح رگ رگ سے نکالی جائے گی تجھ پہ ایک دن خاک ڈالی جائے گی.
Who will be able to avoid that? Can anybody say that I've got power, I've got strength, I've got military force, I'm a superpower? Nobody can prevent the angel of death from extracting the soul from every part of the body. Jaan theri jaane wali jayegi, rooh rag rag se nikali jayegi, tujh pe ek din khaak dali jayegi. And in one place he says, ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam, ho rahi hai umr misle barf kam, chupke rafta rafta dam badam. Saans hai ek reh rave mulke adam, dafatan ek roz ye jayega tham. Ek din marna hai aakhir maut hai, kar le jo karna hai aakhir maut hai. So that is the reality. That life is melting away like a block of ice, drop by drop, drop by drop. And our condition is this, that our hirs and our greed, there is no limit to it. Again, don't misunderstand me. To progress, to increase one's wealth, nothing wrong with that. I'm talking about greed, where the person then smashes everyone that is in his path. The person is unconcerned who gets trampled beneath his feet. The person is unconcerned that whose rights are then violated in the accumulation of this wealth. And who has been caused injury and pain, and to whom injustice has been done. Nothing concerns the person, because greed, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if two wolves are let, hungry wolves, you let them out amongst sheep, they don't cause so much of damage to those sheep as greed and jealousy causes. So therefore, this night that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us, it is a Mubarak night, so that we realize that we have to return to Allah Ta'ala. No matter how far we may have gone, but look at the kindness and the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives more people than the hair on the goats, cattle of the Bani Kalb tribe. Now that was reputed to have the greatest amount of cattle and goats, etc. So the more than that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala forgives in this Mubarak night. If you have to take all the ahadith and put it together, because we don't have the time to go into the discussion on each one, then we know that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said that this is the night, 15th night of Shaban, in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, he raises the amal of the person towards him. The deeds and the actions which we do, it is all recorded, it is raised towards Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself, he kept abundant amount of fast in the month of Shaban. And the reason that he gave is because there is this night on which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala list the people who are going to die in the course of the year, and hands it over to the angels. So he said, I desire that when my name is put in there, I must be from among the fasting ones. But as I said, that if you have to take that ayat of the Quran Sharif in Surah Dukhan, then some of them have said that that is the Laylatul Bara'a. But the correct thing is that it is not Laylatul Bara'a that is mentioned in that ayat, because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that that we reveal the Quran Sharif in the night of Barakah, and that night is, as mentioned in other place, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We all know that it is in the night of Qadr that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala revealed the Quran Sharif. But then that is the beauty of these muhaddithin, and that is the beauty of these scholars. You said there's a big crowd right outside. Have you got this mic or speakers on? Maybe that's low speed there, because they won't be able to hear from inside. That is the beauty, that they reconcile the different ayat and the different ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That here they say that there were three revelations. One was the revelation from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala onto Baytul Ma'mur, or onto the Lawhe Mahfuz. The first revelation was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala onto Lawhe Mahfuz. And then from there the next was onto Baytul Izzat, which is on the first heaven. And from there, over 23 years on the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now they reconcile it and say the decision was made on the night of Barat. Then it was revealed from Lawhe Mahfuz to Baytul Izzat in the night of Qadr. And from there after that, for 23 years, as that occasion demanded, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala revealed the verses. But as far as this night is concerned, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it a night of blessing and mercy. From the very sunset, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, His tajalli is cast. When we say He descends, it doesn't mean He has got some body that He descends to the first heaven. And they say, is there anybody seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? Is there anybody seeking sustenance that I may give him sustenance? Is there any person that is needing something or the other, he must beg of me, I am prepared to give it to him. Now if the king himself or the one who is in the palace, if he says that now today my palace is open, everybody ask whatever you want, how much can he give? And here Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is saying that anything you ask. But then we have to remember that when we ask, this morning also there was a talk on dua. So I mentioned there that when we are asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then there are certain etiquettes and adab of begging. As far as the disbelievers are concerned, there is no halal haram for them. There is no gambling being haram, no interest and taking and giving being haram, no adultery and fornication being haram. So therefore, Allah ta'ala deals with them in a different way. But when it comes to the Muslim, then if he wants the acceptance of his duas, then what is important is that this person must earn halal livelihood. To become mustajabud da'wat, that your duas become accepted, halal livelihood is a must. Without that, it is not going to be accepted. Then the person must show complete helplessness before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that's why I mentioned one incident, which may be not out of place to repeat here. That one Christian priest once came, and then he was trying to enter into some discussion and debate with regards to the Quran and the Bible and certain issues. Where he said, who came first? Muhammad came first or Jesus came first and all those kind of things. Nevertheless, I told him, I said, look, let us not enter into all that discussion. I want just one simple answer. That any Christian home that you go where there is a picture of Jesus Christ, then what do you see in that picture? According to their own belief, Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam, was crucified. So I said, what do you see there? You find a person completely helpless, he's nailed on the cross, and he's asking for help, and even the child feels pity for that person that's on that cross. Any person passing by also, he feels great amount of pity and mercy for that person. And look at that person, how he's suffering. So I said, I wouldn't like my child, or I wouldn't like myself, or anyone else to have a God who is in such a pitiable state. How is he going to help others if he can't help himself? And what kind of a power is that, where you cannot even save yourself from the clutches of those people that want to nail you? We don't even believe in that, but they say it was done. So what kind of a God is that he can't save himself? And he has to seek assistance of other human beings. They say, we have a God who is all-powerful, almighty, all-hearing, all-seeing, all-knowing, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of the waters of the ocean, creator of the animals in the jungle, the fish in the sea, the creatures, creator of human beings and jinn, and he provides for everyone, and he comes to the assistance and help of all those who are weak and all those who require assistance and those whom injustice has been done to. Now when they pray to him, he listens to their prayers. I say, that's the kind of God we believe in. So what is the purpose of telling me about a God that is so weak? So this is our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that he wants to give us the best of this world and akhirah. So therefore Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he forgives in this Mubarak night. He says himself, is there anyone seeking forgiveness that I may forgive him? And then we know that Ramadan month is coming. Now without going into all the other hadiths, it will take a long time. So this much we know, that it is a night of forgiveness, a night of blessing, a night of mercy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself engaged in a very, very long salat in this Mubarak night. He was masoom, he was sinless. There is that incident of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha who followed him to the Qabristan, thinking that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam must have gone to one of the other wives. And then she returned quickly home. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also returned and found her that she was breathing heavily as if she had been running and returning from somewhere. That whole detail has been explained many times. But then that's when he informed her of what this night was all about, and then he sought her permission, and then he stayed up for the rest of the night. Now there are lots of lessons to be learned from there, that if you have to see it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I've discussed this some 2-3 years ago also, that the words that have been used, qaman Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam ruwaidan, wa anta'ala ruwaidan, wa fatahal baba ruwaidan, wa aghlaqal baba ruwaidan. Ah, what a Nabi Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. She could have just used the word once only, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up silently and left her. So she said Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got up silently, very softly, gently. He opened the door also very, he put on his shoes gently, softly. He opened the door softly and then he left also. Why did he do all these things? So that her sleep may not become disturbed. His beloved wife, but he doesn't want to disturb her sleep. He was going to the Qabristan to go and pray for those who had passed away. But the lesson that we take from there is the consideration of the rights of others which has left our dictionary. When it comes to our parking, when it comes to all other matters in our lives, we consider ourselves, it's I, and I. Or I, me, and myself. That comfort must be for me. Everybody else can be inconvenienced, I will not bother. No consideration. And if you look at the entire life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was nothing but consideration. Therefore, we must always put ourselves into the shoes of the next person. That how would we have felt if we were in his shoes? Instead of losing our top and losing our mind and blowing our fuse and fighting and arguing when the person tells us that this is wrong what you did. Many a times I've mentioned the friends also, we have these arches here outside. Now after Maghrib Salat, Isha Salat, people will just stand in the middle of that arch and keep talking and talking. Now what about the people that are coming out? Or on the doorway, on the gateway. Or their car will be parked right in the front and they will be the last one to come out from the masjid. If a person has missed his 4 rakats or missed his 2-3 rakats and he knows that now by the time I will come out, the other cars will not be able to leave. So then he must go straight away there. And especially nikah time, I've been saying this over and over. That nikah time, we think that now everything is jais. We don't consider the other person. We want to make sure that we make mu'anika, we embrace, and then we meet, and then we line up and queue up. Now if there are 1,000 people, everyone is embracing, how long is it going to take? Therefore, Sharia didn't make these things compulsory. We made it compulsory. By the way, casually, you meet the groom on the way somewhere, you make salam, and congratulate him, well and good. But this whole idea that the whole crowd must queue up and then everyone must embrace and everybody must... Now look at the amount of time that is consumed and how many consume and how many people are obstructed and how many people are inconvenienced. These things are not mentioned in bayan, so therefore we take it for granted that what we are doing is right. But therefore I say that if some people don't want to listen, let them not listen, but at least those of us who want to bring into our lives some kind of sanity and some kind of obedience to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Let us make things easy for people. Let us not inconvenience people. Let us take into consideration the difficulties, the hardship of another person. Many a time that person may be heading for the airport. He could even miss his flight because there is so much of obstruction. Sahaba-e-kiram radiyallahu anhu majma'een. Imagine that Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiyallahu ta'ala, he gets married. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he sees the color on him of that itar, which was normally used when a person gets married, that's the time he asked him, "Oh Abdul Rahman, did you get married?" He said, "Yes." So close and right in Madina Sharif. But he's not even calling Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to perform the nikah or that you must be present and that you must make mu'aniqa and musafaha and everything. Nothing. They knew that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have been much, much, much more pleased if the young person makes nikah. He was not so interested that he must call him to make the nikah, as we do. We will say the nikah will take place next year, the following year. Why? Because my sheikh is coming down next year. Why? Because the ijtima will take place next year. Why? Because the grandmother will be returning from America next year. Now, is this something that all the cooks are not available? This, they are gone on strike also. With all the other strikers, they also went on strike. That's why I say we must be very, very grateful to our wives. If only they learn this word strike. And put a strike in the kitchen, then we will realize the worth of that wife. So Islam made things so simple and so easy for us. After the nikah, carry on, proceed to your cars. By the way, those two, three people or few people who are very close to him, let them meet. Somebody wanted to know, why don't we have the nikah in the masjid? Isn't it sunnah to have in the masjid? Why must we have it in the sehen there? Indeed, it is sunnah to have it in the masjid. But don't we know what we do after the nikah? What kind of noise and what kind of discussions and what kind of talks? Everything. Why? Because we're waiting to meet the groom. So therefore, it's better we outside in the sehen so we don't get sin. So this is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did, that he went very, very silently to the graveyard and then he returned, and after that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into prayer. He stayed very long in sajda until Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, his beloved wife, thought that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had passed her. What a kind of sajda he must have made. And there she heard Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam making the dua, "A'udhu bi afwika min uqabik, wa'udhu bi radaka min sakhatik, wa'udhu bika minka jalla wajhuk. La ufsi sana'an alaykum kama asnayta ala nafsi." Now, without going into explanation or any detail. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us the virtues of this Mubarak night, but he mentioned those people who commit shirk, they engage in idolatry, Allah Ta'ala doesn't forgive in this Mubarak night. Those people who are disobedient to their parents, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala does not forgive in this Mubarak night unless they ask for forgiveness. If a person asks for forgiveness, then it is a different story. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when somebody said about the injustice from the parent's side, he still ordered that you must respect that parent. He said, even if they do injustice, I'm just giving you the gist of it. He said, "Wa in zalama, wa in zalama, wa in zalama." 4 times he said that even if they are unjust. That means those fathers, those mothers, even if they do any kind of injustice to the child must still know that that is my father, that's my mother. Respect those parents. Respect of those parents is deen, it is iman. But it does not give justification to those parents to do injustice. There are two issues, we confuse the two. When parents listen to this, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that even if the parents do injustice, you must be obedient. Now they will quote that hadith to the son and to the daughter, upon whom they are doing injustice. So doing injustice is not allowed for those parents. It doesn't mean that. But for the children, they are told that even if they do injustice, still you must be obedient, respect them. Of course, if they order you to do anything that is against Sharia, against Quran and Sunnah, then Allah Ta'ala's law comes first. There we are not going to obey them. And look at the beautiful way that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala puts it, especially when those parents get old. And that is that age when the children get agitated and irritated because the parent is old. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. But that, not going into the whole ayat and its translation and explanation, but where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. It's not mentioned there that وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ, that means those parents who are Muslims. So even Allah didn't put that condition that you must be good to the parents if they are Muslims. That shows how much of rights they have. That not even Muslim, if they are non-Muslims also, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ordering that you must be good to those parents. If they order that you must do something that is sinful, that is haram, that is shirk, then of course we won't obey. There are lots of incidents also of Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala and others, but there's no time for all that. So this is something that unfortunately parents are now complaining. Remember that those parents, they went through sleepless nights. It's only when we have children and those children are vomiting and spewing and they got diarrhea and they got everything else and the mother is changing the napkin and the mother is spending sleepless nights. Now, we don't understand what that mother went through. But when our children are growing up, then we realize how sometimes we spend sleepless nights. They say one time there was one child. So the father, after many, many years, he said, son, go and bring that book out from the safe there. So he brought one diary. There were dates that were put there. And before showing him that, then he pointed to one crow that was sitting there on one of the branches. And he said, son, what is that? He said, crow. After a little while again, he said, son, what is that? He said, crow. And then when the third time he said, son, what is that? He said, you've gone off your head, Dad. So how many times are you going to ask, what is that? What is that? I told you, crow. Now, how many times are you going to ask? Something gone wrong with you. So then he said, now bring that book. He opened it and showed him that 26 times we were sitting in the garden, you were a little child, and 26 times you said, Daddy, what is that? I said, crow. Daddy, what is that? I said, crow. 26 times I told you. And in 3 times you said, I'm gone off my head. So we don't know what they do for us. But as I said, you have to win the muhabbat of the child also. Parents today, they are going to demand that you must respect me, and then they themselves are not obedient to Allah and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Then those children are not going to respect. And then we ourselves have brought into our homes and our lives such kind of things. Filthy, filthy novels and filthy movies and everything else. And those films, what do they learn from there except disobedience? What else do they learn? How to kill, how to murder even parents, that's what they learn from there. How to swear. Children, that is what they learn. Now we have given them that and then we say, must respect me. You think they're going to respect? But those children who are on drugs and drink and vices and evils, then they must open up their minds and remember that in this Mubarak night, they must seek forgiveness from those parents. Those who have caused injury, harm and pain. And this I have said on many occasions, that if a person has got a wife and he's also got a mother, he's also got a father, and he's got his wife also. So the wife has got her rights. We must not tell the wife, now you do this for my mother, do this for my father, and otherwise I'm going to give you talaq, and otherwise I will beat you up. So many women are complaining. They say that when his brothers, when his sisters, when his family members are coming down for a holiday, then I cannot go anywhere. Why? Because I have to entertain his family. I must stay at home, December holiday, any holiday. And every holiday all his sisters come, brothers come, aunties come and everybody comes. Now when I ask for a holiday, say, no, all these people are coming. It's your duty to look after them. So just as we want her to look after our sisters and our aunties and our mothers and everybody else, does she not also have a mother? Does she also not have sisters? Does she also not have parents? So why should we not give her that consideration too? We must do it ourselves, or employ some maids, or give her some holiday also, and partly tell her. But out of love, she too, if she goes out of her way and does it, she'll get great rewards. But what I'm saying is that there's no demand kind of thing, and that is what is causing major breakdowns in families. There are so many issues, as you say, oont re oont teri konsi kal sidi. Camel or camel, which part of your body is straight? Look at the type of cases that we have to deal with. Every person just wants his rights, my rights. What about the consideration of the other person? What about their rights? So therefore, that is another category. Of course, there are so many incidents with regards in the Hadith Sharif with regards to the rights of parents. But then at the same time, look at Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and that father, that son, when he told him about his rights, the father's rights, then he said, don't I also have rights? Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala said yes, and then he mentioned what are his rights. So both have rights. So those people are not forgiven, unless they ask for forgiveness. And then those who are holding jealousy, malice in their hearts, they're harboring jealousy in their hearts and malice in their hearts. That incident of that Sahabi, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, will pass by just now here, and he is an inmate of Jannat, he'll go to paradise. The second day he mentioned the same thing and the same person passed. The third day the same person passed. So then one of his companions, he made some excuse to spend some nights with this person. After three nights he told him, he said, I didn't find you doing anything unique. Making namaz, little bit of tilawat and zikr and sleeping that everybody does. And getting up for tahajjud or fajr time. Then what is that unique quality that you possess that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you are from the people of Jannat? So he said, well, that's the same thing what you saw. However, there is one thing, that I don't hold any jealousy in my heart and I don't harbor any malice in my heart against any Muslim brother. Nothing. My heart is clear. He said, that's a great thing. This sifat and quality of yours, it's not an easy thing. It's a very great thing. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned it. Therefore, with regards to jealousy, Shah Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is a beautiful couplet which some of you may have already by-hearted to because you heard it so many times. Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf tum kyun chal rahe ho? Hasad ki aag mein kyun jal rahe ho? Jahannam ki taraf kyun chal rahe ho? Khuda ki taqseem pe tum ho naraz? Kaffe afsos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you burning in the fire of jealousy? Why are you going so speedily towards the fire of hell? Are you unhappy with the distribution that Allah Ta'ala has made? Who has made the distribution of the wealth and the health and the colors and the features and everything? Who has made the distribution? So he says, are you unhappy? Did Allah Ta'ala have to have first some parliamentary sitting or some cabinet meeting because you are unhappy? That how much must be given to you? Kaffe of soos kyun mal rahe ho? Why are you rubbing your hands in distress? So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this is something that on this Mubarak night, people with hasad, malice, greed in their hearts, Allah Ta'ala does not forgive, unless the person asks for forgiveness. So look at the opportunities that Allah Ta'ala has created for us, that sometimes it becomes difficult and I mentioned this, it doesn't mean that you wave off all monies owing. Say, Maulana said, now, tonight, we must make maaf of everything. So that 100,000 that I owe you now finish, Qiyamah day we'll see. It doesn't mean that. If there is a dispute with regards to some owing, some debts, then have a meeting, have a sitting, and after some feasting, then try and resolve it. Fight it out in that small room. Argue it out. Put on some boxing gloves too. Do whatever you want. But after that, come to some kind of an amicable settlement instead of going and making the lawyers rich. That is what we are doing today. Look at the number of cases at the courts and look at the number of the millions of rands of Muslim money that is going. Even ulama are involved in it and solaha are involved and pious and the righteous and everybody seems to be just heading for the courthouse. I'm not saying that it is haram to go to the courthouse. Sometimes you have to go if somebody becomes very difficult. But we must first exhaust whatever means there are of mediation, arbitration, and try to come to some amicable settlement. Is there any lawyers here? They say, lawyer is not your real friend. But of course, there are exceptions. So they say, one lawyer, he sent one bill to one client. In there he had charged 2,000 rand extra. So he said, now what is this 2,000 rand extra for? He said, no, last night I dreamt of your case. And at least half an hour I spent on your case in the dream. So whether it's an example or whatever it is, but what I'm saying is that why go to that extent? Try and resolve matters. Allah Ta'ala has given us aqal. There are many other categories and many other people that have been mentioned and there are also many, many ahadith on these things that I have just mentioned. But as I said that it is a night of repentance, asking for forgiveness, so Allah Ta'ala has created the opportunity, if we are not in talking terms. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the du'as of that person is not accepted. Just one person in that entire congregation of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, only one person in Arafat. Now imagine in Arafat how many people are there. But when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if anybody is not in talking terms with any family member here, then he must leave this gathering. Now there was no question of lying there. because wahi was coming, revelation was coming. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would have informed Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that there are a few others here also, they are silent. Just one person gets up and he goes and he comes back after a little while. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, where did you go? He said, I was not in talking terms with my aunt. So I went, asked her for forgiveness, she forgave me, I forgave her, and I came back. He said, you did a wonderful thing. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmat and mercy does not descend on that community in which people are not in talking terms. Not just one person. And that is what happened. Now where the whole community and society, there's nothing but fights, quarrels, arguments. Every person is just wanting to stab the other. Then where are we going to go? Children are angry with parents. Parents are angry with children. Teachers are angry with pupils. Pupils are angry with teachers. The government is angry with the citizens. The citizens are angry with the government. Everybody is angry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi of rahmat, mercy, mercy, mercy. Nothing but forgiveness. He never took grudge for personal reasons. No grudge for personal reasons. Those were after his blood also he forgave. Those very people, one of them then said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before accepting Islam, the worst of all faces in my sight was your face. Today is the most beloved face to me. And oh my beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, before I accepted Islam, when I was your enemy, at that time the worst of all tents was your tent. And now it is the most beautiful of all tents. And the worst of all cities was your city, because you lived in Madina Sharif. But now it is the best of all cities to me. This is how the changes then came. If we have akhlaq and good character, even those who are our enemies will make into our friends. And if we don't have good character and good akhlaq and good moral and good behavior, then those who are our friends also will become our enemies. The person who's got short temper and all the time arguing and fighting and quarreling, will people like to be his friend? So therefore we should not waste these golden opportunities that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to us. There's so much that can be said and so much that can be spoken on. But we will make a short zikrullah and then we will make dua. Tonight is a big night, so therefore let us spend it. Generally we just finish off very quickly, but a little bit of zikrullah to give us that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and then after that pour our hearts before Allah. He is really, really prepared to listen to us. He'll give us what we ask or give us something better or remove some bala and difficulty. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that du'as are accepted until the person is not hasty. When he's asked what's the meaning of hasty, the person said, I made du'a and nothing happened. Then again I made du'a, nothing happened. So then stop making du'a. This morning also I mentioned that Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he spoke about the Fir'aun being destroyed. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua. Harun alayhi salam made ameen on his dua, but after 40 years Fir'aun drowned. So we must not think dua wasn't accepted. Allah out of his hikmat and wisdom will give us what is best for us. Sometimes we are praying and praying that my sickness must go, but the sickness remained, and instead Allah Ta'ala gave some another big ni'mat. Sometimes the person is praying for wealth, he didn't get wealth, but he got cure from his ailment. Sometimes he got tawfiq of doing good deeds which he never did in his life. So is that not also an amat? The person was very sick and he asked a lot of dua he made. Now his dua didn't get accepted with regards to his sickness. But in that sickness now, Ya Allah, Ya Allah. Then the person is sick or in difficulties. That time Allah comes out from the heart. So we don't know in which way Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala rewards. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us with the tawfiq of doing the righteous things, staying away from haram, and preparing ourselves for this Mubarak month that is coming. Majal hai kuch bhi kar sakun main jo tu na tawfiq ai khuda de teri mashiyat hai sab pe ghalib ye hai chahein sab mere irade بہت دنوں رہ چکا نکما بس اب مجھے کام کا بنا دے کب سے ہوں محو خواب غفلت بس اب جگا دے بس اب جگا دے ہر دم کروں میں اے میرے باری
Allahu Allah, 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Allah kaisa pyara naam hai, aashiqon ka meena aur jaam hai. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah 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 Allah
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Yusuf, put that out there. Is that enough? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. Sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. يا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh my beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, my Kareem Allah, my most forgiving Allah, my most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. Oh my most beneficent, most merciful Allah. Oh, my most tolerant Allah. In this Mubarak night, we have extended our begging bowls before you. My beloved Allah, you are all seeing, all hearing, all knowing. You know where we have spent our time, where we have spent our lives, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have heard with our ears, what we have spoken with our tongues, what we have touched with our hands, places that we have walked with our feet. what we have fantasized, my beloved Allah, everything is before you. You could have destroyed us there and then. You could have embarrassed us there and then. You could have punished us there and then. You could have ordered the earth to open up and swallow us, my beloved Allah. You don't love punishment. You gave us another opportunity of making tawbah. My beloved Allah, you are well aware of all our weaknesses and shortcomings. We are not justifying our weaknesses and shortcomings. We are ashamed, my beloved Allah. This Mubarak night, we are extending our begging bowls before you and expressing our shame and regret that we have spent so much of our life in disobedience, in haram, in so much of disobedience of your beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We used in our entire life your bounties, your ni'mats, your gifts for your disobedience. Anyone else, my beloved Allah, gets angry if we have to use their gifts against them. Here we use the gift of sight, hearing, speech, wealth against you, my Allah. How loving you are, how compassionate you are, how forgiving you are, how merciful you are. In spite of all our sins, you are giving us to eat and drink and wear and travel around. My beloved Allah, we are therefore extending our begging bowls before you. We are not extending before human beings who get angry if we have to beg of them. Ya Allah, we are begging of you. Your treasures are unlimited. Forgive each and every one of us. Forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters, family members, and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Forgive, my beloved Allah, the sins that we have committed, major or minor. Sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day or darkness of nights. There was no question of darkness for you, my Allah. You who blessed billions of people with sight, how can you be blind to our actions and deeds? It is just your ihsan and your fazl and your kindness that you did not seize us, my Allah. We are therefore asking you for total forgiveness. This is a night of forgiveness. Open the floodgates of mercy and forgiveness for us. Open the floodgates, my beloved Allah, of mercy for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Overlook the shortcomings of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My beloved Allah, Tere siwa hamara koi sahara nahi. Tere siwa koi hamara nahi. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. Mujhko jeene ka sahara chahiye. Gham tumhara dil hamara chahiye. Bahre ulfat ka kinara chahiye. Sar hamara dar tumhara chahiye. My beloved Allah, we need you every second of our life, every breath of our life. If you are not with us, then my beloved Allah, if you are not in our favor, our lives will become miserable. With everything that we possess, our lives will become miserable. My beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. We are turning towards you. Change the condition of our hearts. Change the condition of our minds. Ya Allah, this is a night in which you record and give the list of all those that are going to die in the coming year. Those that are going to be born in the coming year. The risk and sustenance that will be given to the people in the coming year. My beloved Allah, we are seeking from you that if you are going to give us life in this coming year, let it be a life which is pleasing to you. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life so that we may do good deeds in abundance before we leave this world. Ya Allah, bless us all with good health, spiritual health and physical health. My beloved Allah, we are sick and ailing physically and spiritually. Who is there to give us cure from our ailments and sicknesses besides you? We know that sometimes these sicknesses and these difficulties and hardship and pain and suffering is a rahmat and a mercy in disguise. But we are not of that caliber, my Allah. We are asking you to change that rahmat even if it is in the form of rahmat, change it to the rahmat of good health. Change it to the rahmat, my beloved Allah, of prosperity, of happiness, of contentment and satisfaction. Make us yours and become ours. If you are not ours, nothing will be ours. Our children will not be coolness of our eyes. Our family members will distance themselves from us. If you are not ours, my beloved Allah, our homes will not give us comfort. Our businesses will not give us barakat. But if you are ours, then even if it is a little, but you'll give us plenty of barakat. There will be happiness and contentment and satisfaction in our hearts. Hey, very Allah, in this Mubarak night, in such a large gathering, in which there are the old, the weak, the sick, those whose hair have gone white, those whose backs have gone bent, and those little children who are masoom, we are begging of you, my Allah, we are begging of you, open the floodgates of your mercy for us. Ya Allah, keep us in the shade of your rahmat and mercy at all times. How long are we going to walk the path of sins and disobedience? How long are we going to watch the haram? How long are we going to engage in adultery and fornication and popping drugs in our mouth? Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Oh my beloved Allah, we don't know if our name is already written in the list of dead for this coming year. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, person is planting gardens and his name is in the list of dead. Person is planning to marry but his name is in the list of the dead. My beloved Allah, sometimes a person is planning hajj but his name is already in the list of the dead. That means he is going to die in the coming year. Ya Allah, whenever our death comes, don't let the angel of death, which gives no warning, don't let the angel find us in a disco, cinema, theater, gambling den, adultery, fornication, popping drugs in our mouth, watching some filth on the television or internet sites, or filthy novel or magazine in our hands. We don't know when the angel of death will strike. We have heard of deaths in discos and cinemas and in adultery and at the prostitute quarters and escort agencies. My beloved Allah, don't let any ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam die a haram death. Ya Allah, give us the understanding that we don't know when this soul is going to be extracted from our bodies. Suddenly fit, healthy young people are departing from this world. When the time of our departure comes, take us to Madina Tayyibah. तवन्ना है कि गुलजारे मदीना अब वतन होता वहां के गुलशनों में कोई अपना भी चमन होता बसर अब जिंदगी अपनी दियारे कुद्दस में होती वही जीता वही मरता वही गोरो कफन होता पर इफ इट इज नॉट डेस्टिनेड दे वेरी वेट पे बी लेट इट बी द स्टेट यू आर प्लीज्ड विद अस गिव अस बरकत इन आवर रिस्क एंड सस्टेनेंस बरकत इन आवर होम्स इन आवर लाइफ इन आवर टाइम. Unite the hearts of parents and children, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, family members, ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. My beloved Allah, make us all one, make us nek, make us salih. Accept all the works of deen that are taking place. Tabligh o da'wat ki mehnat qubool farma. Hone wale ijtema ko qubool farma. Masajid, madaris, khanqah ko qubool farma. Accept each and every one who is doing service to your deen, my Allah. Bless us with ikhlas in our actions and our deeds. My beloved Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, how much he sacrificed for us. 3 solid years boycotted and ostracized. Stoned in Taif, his Mubarak shoes filled with his Mubarak blood. Stoned in Uhud, the pins of the helmet pierce his jaws. He falls down unconscious. Intestines of animals placed on his back in the haram ship. How much he cried for us. How much he sacrificed for us. When he is informed that ummat for whom you cried so much, ummat in discos and cinemas and theatres and Hollywood and Bollywood, cell phones with music even in the haram sharif, how much of pain it must be causing to his sensitive heart. Ya Allah, give us hidayat. Remove the suffering of the ummah around the globe, especially in Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nigeria, Sudan, Somalia, Europe, Asia, Africa, oh my beloved Allah, where is the Ummah not suffering? We know we are the major cause of the suffering of the Ummah. Unite the hearts of the Ummah. Give hidayat to the zalims. And if hidayat is not in the taqdeer because they made up their minds not to accept, then shake the ground beneath their feet. Cause the planes to crash and the ships to sink. Create disunity amongst their ranks. Assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made duas for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Protect us from all the fitnas and mischief from he asked. Protect us from. Ya Allah, you are well aware of the good wishes, the good desires, the aspirations that in the hearts of each and every one who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. In this Mubarak night, Ya Allah, whosoever has raised his or her hand. Ya Allah, fulfill their good wishes, good desires and aspirations. Those students who are writing examinations, give them success in their examination. Make them assets for our communities. Protect them from the fitnas of the colleges and universities and schools. My beloved Allah, bless us all with the best of dunya and akhirah. And you are well aware of the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering, the sickness, the weakness, the tests and the trials of each and everyone who has raised his or her hand before you this part of the night. In this Mubarak night of Shaban, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering and the problems. Bless us with life till Ramadan. In Ramadan, give us the tawfiq to do everything that is pleasing to you. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka antas samiul qaleem, wa tub alayna, innaka antat tawwabur rahim. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين